Welcome to the Way of Success. Pastor Banky is teaching the principles of life established in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose kingdom indeed reigns over all. Relax and listen, and you'll be blessed by this message.
Now, last week I began to speak about why we may not receive from the hand of God. That is why people may not experience the blessings of God. Very importantly, I explained that God is a good God. Indeed, God is a good God. And what he desires is to bless people on the earth. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave, that it might not perish but have. That is, God is always looking for the avenue to give to people that they might have. Therefore, if we are not experiencing gifts from the hand of God, it is not because God does not want to give, but rather because we have placed ourselves in a place where we cannot receive from God. Because there are two sides to this issue. There is a God side. The Bible says the heavens are the heavens of the Lord. And then there is a man's side. He said the earth he has given to the sons of men. That is, when God wants to do something, he has a purpose in the heavens. That's why Jesus taught us to pray like this: thy will be done on earth as it is written or recorded in heaven. That is, there is what God wants to do, which is revealed in the heavens, but that it may not be done on earth until we are ready to receive it. Do you get the point I'm trying to make? And I gave the example last week that the Bible said that he came unto his own, and his own did not receive him. That is, it is possible for God to send you a blessing and you refuse to receive it. So among the things that we saw last week is that sin is an important thing that separates us from where God can bless us. And that this is the power of the blood of Jesus to wipe away our iniquities and the power of sin with which it is forcing us to live under a curse. That when we have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus, we are now in a place to receive the blessings of God. And that what makes you a Christian, what makes me a Christian, is not that I go to a particular denomination and I call myself by a particular name, but that I have been introduced to the Father through his Son, Jesus Christ. Very, very, very important. So, I said that a lot of times people are struggling, they are begging, they are wishing, they are praying for certain things, and then by their actions, they are fighting those things off. That is, a man wants a blessing from God, and God says, fine, I have heard, I will send you the blessing. And then the day the angel sends the blessing, like Zacharias, the father of John, you begin to argue with the angel that this is not necessary, this cannot be done. Now, we do these things in many ways. Yes, Zacharias' case was that he saw an angel, but there are angels in our lives every day. There are people that God sends to bring answers to our lives. Because, you see, one of the problems is that we misunderstand the working of God, and I'm going to explain that as we go on. That's one of the problems we have in receiving from God. You've heard this story before. There was a man whose boat was bad and he was about to sink. And then he prayed to God and said, God, please deliver me from these problems. And then a big ship passed by and they sent out a signal to him. Say, any problems? He answered that and said, no problem, God is in charge. And the sea, the big boat kept on going. Another one came, another smaller boat came and said, any problems? He said, don't worry, everything is under control. Anyway, about three helps came like that, and then the man didn't take any one of them. At that point, God got tired and left the boat to sink, and the man drowned. And as soon as he got to heaven, he said, God, I trusted you. I believed you will come through, and you did not. God said, what do you mean that I did not? I sent help three times. Each time they came, you refused the help. What else do you want me to do? That is, sometimes this is the problem we have. We are expecting something from God. When God brings it, we can't receive it because we have formed our own ideas in our mind. I'm explaining this, that sometimes God wants to give us something, we are not able to receive it. Take another example, Israel. Israel prayed and they kept on praying for the Messiah. The day the Messiah came, they crucified him. Are you getting my point? Because in their minds, they thought that they would get a Messiah that would not demand repentance from sin. They thought God would deliver them from the Romans without first asking them to change their ways, without first asking them to be reunited back to God and depart from idolatry. That's what they were expecting. So they now had a Messiah that came preaching the kingdom of God. Then they said, no, we don't want this one. We will crucify him. Many answers that God has sent into your life, you have crucified those answers. Are you getting my point? I just feel good at this point to share this one again. Maybe a young woman is there, a Christian young woman, very good girl she is. She's praying for a very good husband. And everybody wants a good husband in life. You want a man that will be rich, handsome guy and all of that. And then unfortunately, when God sends these guys, they usually are not rich or handsome yet. Do you understand the point? That is, no, it is true. At the beginning, the good husband will not be rich and handsome. handsome yet. It is by your nurturing, are you getting my point? And believing God and struggling together in life that great abundance of blessing will come upon him. And of course, if you reject the man, the Bible says that the stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. Are you getting what I'm going to say? So sometimes you reject such blessings from God and then you see the blessing in 20 years time and you can't even recognize it. Are you getting what I'm going to say here? That is what God does sometimes, is that he gives you the thing in its raw state and he says, cultivate it and keep it. And it's as you are walking with God that you will now begin to see the reality of what God wants to do. Let me just explain that further. Listen, if you are believing God for a great company, as a young man you have prayed, you say, I want to be an entrepreneur, I want to found a company that will employ 50,000 people. Listen to me, the first day you start, you will employ only one person, yourself. Are you getting my point? Then in a few months, when God blesses you, will be stretched forth to two or three people. And then after some time, you may find out that you already have employed 10, 20. Then one day, things just begin to explode. In one year, you employ 2,000. The following year, you increase to 5,000. And God begins to bless you. And then you look back, 20 years after you started, really, you have crossed the 50,000 mark in employees. And then you look back and realize that the day you started this company, it was one person that you employed, yourself. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? And you see, you now understand the principle of the parable that Jesus was talking about in Mark chapter 4. He said, the kingdom of God is like a seed that a man plants. He said, when you plant it, it's the smallest of all seeds, but when it has grown, it will become the biggest of all trees. But if you despise the days of small beginnings, if you despise that seed, you will keep on crying, God, why? How come I have not received from your hand? God will say, I sent it to you, but you refuse to receive it. Why? Because it did not look like the thing that you wanted. All right? But I had put the fruit, I had put the tree inside that seed. All you needed to do was to plant it. What am I going to emphasize again? The same thing that we said last week, that a lot of times we are asking God for things, but we are putting ourselves in a place where we cannot receive those things. I hope you understand that point. Now, so, I haven't explained the fact that we need to be reconciled to God through the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the power of Christianity. I want to emphasize a few points again. One, don't ever forget, God has a good plan for your life. This one, again, is very important. I emphasize it. God has a good plan for you. You do not know yourself enough to fashion a plan as good as the one that God has for you. And safety in life, actually, is walking in the plan of God. Let me say this quickly again. Satan also has a plan for your life. You just have to make up your mind by the actions, by the things that you do, that whether you want to walk in the plan of Satan or you want to walk in the will of God. Now, there's one thing about Satan. If you walk with him, he eventually kills you. Are you getting my point? His ways always disappoint. You may sit down, you know, someone was telling me the other day by a young man who came to meet him and said, sir, how can I work hard and make money justly? Because for 18 months, I have been trying this 419 thing and I have not made money. And I totaled the amount of money I have spent paying for cyber time and it's already over 50,000 naira. This thing obviously does not pay. Yeah, you get my point? When I thought about it, I said, this guy is even lucky. God helped him early. Are you getting my point? Because other people, God will get tired of helping them, then it will start paying. Then when it starts paying, it's going to kill you very early in life. I shared a story with us some weeks ago in which a young man said that he and about four or five of his friends went into these deals. And then when the payment finally came through, he had reconciled his life. You know, like we said, he had been introduced to God through Jesus Christ. And therefore, because he had put his hand upon a plow, he refused to look back. Therefore, he did not share in the proceeds of iniquity. And what happened was that by the time he was sharing the testimony, he said every single one of those friends of his were dead. Now, listen to this. They were not killed by the person they defrauded. All kinds of things would have killed the different people. But there was a power of death that they took in when they began to defraud people and eat their money. I'm trying to explain this, that God has a plan for your life. He said, plans for good and not for evil. I want to give you a future and a bright hope. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? But Satan says, listen, why wait for it in the future? God said, I have a future for you and an expected end. Satan said, why must it be an end? Let it be at the beginning. He said, right now, bow to me and I will give you all the king kingdoms of this world. But people don't understand that the person who bows to Satan has put his foot on the path of death. Only God, let me say it again, only God, please hear me very clearly, only God can bless you and give you the ability to enjoy it. does it. God did not share that ability with anybody in life to give you blessing and you are able to enjoy that thing, to give you material prosperity and you eat it in peace. It must have come from the hand of God. Nobody else, Satan, not your friend, not people that love you, nobody else can do that thing for you. Therefore, you really don't have a choice in life if you really want to enjoy. There's an elderly man I know, you know, and a friend of mine was telling me about what the man shared with him once. This guy is very rich. Now, let me tell you how rich he is. Anytime he flies abroad, he flies first class. Now, this is how wealthy he is. And he will fly first class to go and attend a friend's daughter's wedding somewhere. Now, he was sharing with a friend of mine when a young man was going to get married. He said, listen, have you noticed that guy? My friend was living close by him. He said, have you noticed that I don't have a security guard at my door? Boy said yes. When I come in at night, I open my gate myself and drive in, lock it, and leave it alone in the house. Right? When he comes down to his hometown, because he stays most of the time in Lagos. The boy said, I have noticed. I drive my car at night. I am not afraid of anything. He said, do you know why? He said, all my life, I made sure I was not cheating anybody. I was not defrauding people. I allowed God to bless me in his time. When this man was speaking, he was about 70 years of age. And he was explaining that is why I am not afraid. I go to sleep. Oh, David said, in peace will I lay me down and sleep. For the Lord alone causes me to dwell in safety. You know, sometimes we take pride in rubbish things. A young man makes some money and then he goes to look for two mobile policemen to follow him up and downtown, trying to impress the rest of us. What he does, he understand that he's telling us that my money is not clean. I am afraid of life. Do you get what I'm trying to say here? I'm trying to emphasize this point that only God, listen to me, can bless you in life. Only God can allow you to have material possessions and you will enjoy it. And this is how Solomon said it. He said, the blessing of God, they make rich and they don't add sorrow. That is, only the blessing of God doesn't have anything hidden inside. If God blesses you, he blesses you and you are able to enjoy it. He said, for a man to enjoy the labor of his hands, Solomon said, it is a gift of God. Let me emphasize something again. Satan, the only thing he uses to bait people is rapidity of results. He wants, you know, you want it now. You want it now. Yes, you are in university and you want to buy a Volkswagen Touareg. You're there. You want it now. You want it now. God will refuse to give you now. God will say, you don't need it now. God will say, before I give you a blessing, I must build you up. Are you getting my point? Satan said, why do I have to build you up? God said, walk before me and be perfect and I will build you. Satan said, walk anyhow, be imperfect and I will still give you something. Are you getting my point? And I said something before, that the way you get a result is actually what determines what you will get out of it. So whether you find death or you find life is determined by the gate by which you enter into it. I always say you can desire anything in life. You may decide that you want your house to have 10 floors, only you live inside. It's not a problem. You want to drive a stretch Hummer. Fine, it's okay. The only thing is, how do you want to enter into those realms? You want to be a thief? You want to be a fraud? You want to start defrauding people? You want to be an armed robber? Oh, fine. You will buy the house. The first day you step into it, it collapses on your head. That is, you have entered into something and you have found death inside. Please, don't ever forget this thing that I'm saying. Because the problem we have, all of us in society, we can be blaming government, we can be blaming this, blaming that. God is saying again that the reason why all of you haven't prospered is because all of you have iniquity in your hearts. Listen, I have noticed as a Nigerian that the problem with Nigerians, apart from corruption, is that they are inherently oppressors. Are you getting what I'm saying? They like to oppress their neighbor. Everybody you give small power wants to oppress everybody else. They blame government, blame police, blame soldier. But no, but you look at it. Go to the local government. They employ one jobless man yesterday to come and do something. He starts harassing everybody. You look at it, that the iniquity is in the hearts of the people. Let me say something to you. This is how God sets people up in life. He tests you with small authority as a young man. If you abuse, he will never give you a great one. Do you get my point? Why did he lift Joseph up? It's very simple. He was in the house of Potiphar. He gave him small authority. He did very well. Then they gave him the opportunity to abuse the authority. There's what one man of God taught me long ago, what he calls the law of boundaries. That for everything that God gives you in life, he sets boundaries upon them. So in the house of Potiphar, he gave Joseph everything. But one thing was outside the boundaries. Potiphar's wife. Potiphar's wife, obviously a young woman also, who loved the beauty of Joseph, came to and said, come and go to bed with me. I understand the law of boundaries. Your husband has given me everything. That is, Potiphar did not know how much money he had. Potiphar would just come home and say, where is my food? That was all that concerned him. The Bible says, Get my point? That is, if he had slept with Mrs. Potiphar, Potiphar would not have found out. But the man said that there is a law of boundaries. I can't go beyond my boundary. And God is saying, in effect, that was the reason why I could take you to a high position. You give people small posts in life, they start oppressing themselves. You make the man ordinary secretary of a department club in a university. He starts eating money. Then he starts praying later in life. Me too. I want God said, look, I have tested you before with authority. You are a crook. Some of the people will complain about these government officials. They eat a lot of money. Listen, I'm not justifying corruption in any form. But let me tell you something. Some of the people that complain are worse. You give a man 20 billion, he eats 1 billion. Some of these who are complaining, you give them 1,000 naira, they eat 900 naira and come back with stories. Who is worse? To whom much is given, much is expected. Are you getting my point? God works on the principle of proportions. Listen, let me say this again. I've said this again and again, and let me just emphasize it. Many people are praying for things in life that they have frustrated the performance of it in their lives. That is, they say, God bless me, God bless me. God said, I gave you opportunities to qualify for blessing. You have failed and you have failed. What do you want me to do? Let me say it again. Listen, as a young man, it's when you are in your maybe late teens, but especially in your 20s, your early 30s, that God is really testing you. Are you getting my point? That's when God is giving you opportunities. You are getting what I'm trying to say? It was how Joseph handled those little opportunities that made God decide to give him a bigger one. It was not by prayer. Listen, we don't have it on record that Joseph ever prayed to God that, God, please make me a ruler here. Never. All he did was to walk righteously before God. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? Look, prosperity, success, advancement, making progress in life is not by struggle. It's by doing what is right at the appropriate time. Jesus said, you are going to have problems because you did not recognize the time of your visitation. Let me tell you, generally speaking, the time of the visitation of most people is when they are young. When I say young, I don't mean when you are 10, you are 15. I mean when you are crossing into 20s, you're about to hit 30, you're thereabouts. God is giving you opportunities in life. He's giving you 2,000. Let me see what you will do with it. They're giving you small authority. You get a job during the holiday as a local government worker. Then let us see whether you two will become an oppressor. You oppress everybody. People you don't have the right to tax, you want to tax them. Are you getting my point? And then after that, you leave and start praying. Yeah, God, one day, me too, I'll be governor. God will say, you, governor, as long as I'm alive, forget it. And say, God is not going to die, better forget it. Are you getting what I'm saying? He said, one day, God, me too, I'll have a big company and employ people. Say, you, oppressor, you are a wicked man at heart. When God was going to judge Nebuchadnezzar, you know what he told Nebuchadnezzar? Daniel told him, he said, if you want your days to be prolonged, break off from doing wickedness and from oppressing the poor. Are you getting my point? It was because of wickedness that God ended the kingdom of Nebuchadnezzar. I hope you are getting what I'm trying to say here. Like, see, sometimes in life, people use their hands to work against themselves, and then they go to pray. Say, God, help us. What am I trying to say in all these things I'm saying? Satan has a plan. Most people cooperate with Satan and they never do well. If you see a man that seems to have done well, walking in iniquity, let me tell you two things. Number one, you have not projected his success over time. Let's watch it. His time is still coming. Number two, if the man seems to have earned, let's put it in monetary terms, he has made a billion naira in monetary terms now. It's not always in monetary terms, but just to make it easy for me to explain. God said, you see, you don't understand. I will have given that guy 100 billion. But because of the wickedness of his heart, he couldn't go beyond this level. I said something to us last week that sin is a force. It caps a woman's ability to do well in life. That is, when a man starts cheating as a young boy, God said, I have called you in life to be a businessman, to be an entrepreneur, to be an investor, to be an employer of labor. But the boy starts cheating very early in life. God said, well, for that reason, the best you will ever do is own a small shop somewhere. You will employ only one person, an apprentice, one at a time. Are you getting what I'm going to say? But maybe he goes down to his village. From that little shop, he's able to buy one small car, and people are hailing him Babake. They don't understand that this guy, will have built the biggest multinational from Nigeria. But they don't understand, because now he has bought a Tucumba 190. Are you getting what I'm going to say? And he's driving around in a village of poor people. And in the country of the blind, a one-eyed man appears to be king. But God, who could see, say, oh, that you'll have hearkened unto me, then your well-being will have been like a river and your righteousness like the waves of the sea. Do you get my point? But the guy walked a bit in the plan of God and settled finally in Satan's plan. With God's plan, he stepped into something. Then Satan divided his attention. He obeyed Satan for quick money, is never abundant. Are you getting my point? It's quick. It may appear plenty at the time, but it ends quickly. Are you getting my point? What I'm trying to explain, that God has a plan, and his plan is good. It's just that he uses time to qualify you for the place that he wants to take you to. Now, don't forget what I said I'm really talking about is why we may not receive the blessings from the hand of God. Now, I'm assuming that the people I'm talking to have learned to ask God for blessing. I assume that you listening to me, you have reunited yourself. You have been introduced to God the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, once you have done all these things, what are the reasons, therefore, that you may still not experience the blessings of God? Now, the first point I'm going to make, I'll make many of them. Actually, they are interrelated, but we'll just break them down so that we can understand it easily. Now, so this is the first one I'm going to make. Let me explain something again, which I've explained in previous times. And that is the fact that when you use the word God, all right, it has a meaning. God is not a proper name. You know what they call a proper name? God is actually a title that the God Almighty bears, all right? That is, if you went into a hospital and you saw a young man, his name is Chinedu, do you get the point? But his title is doctor. Are you getting me? Now, what does that mean? It means that if you are sick, you talk to him, he will listen to you, check you up, and decide what your problem is, and based upon that, prescribe a solution. Therefore, his proper name is Chinedu, but the name you call him, which is his title, is Doc. Are you getting my point? Now, when we say God, God is not a proper name like Chinedu is. Every name that God bears is a description of a function he performs in life. It's a description of an office that he holds as it relates to creation. Now, get my point. It's always relative to something. You hear that we say names like Jehovah Jireh, that is the Lord we see to the provision. That is, you are saying this is God, our provider. We are saying, therefore, the name God is actually a title, and it describes the function he performs in our lives, in this creation. So if I say God, what am I trying to say? I am saying that he's the one that can kill and make alive. I'm saying that he's the one that can prosper a man no matter what the circumstances of his life dictate. Remember, we have seen in previous time about the example of Abraham. Abraham and Lot had to separate. Abraham, because he understood God, he told Lot, go ahead and pick anywhere you want to go. Lot picked the most fertile appearing place to the eyes, and he went there. But Abraham said that prosperity does not come from geographical location, but it comes from spiritual location. That if I am located appropriately relative to my God, are you getting the point about God now? Then I will prosper anyway. So when he tells you El Shaddai, when he's telling you Jehovah Jireh, he is saying that my prosperity comes from this God. That this is the almighty breasted one who supplies all my needs. That even though I am in an economy that does not appear good, yet I know that he can come through. Because places are blessed because of people, and people are not blessed because of places. Are you getting my point? When Elijah went to the house of the widow of Zarephath, he did not go there so that he might get food. He went there because there was an anointing upon him, and God told him to go to the house of that widow, and because of his anointing, food in that house will be multiplied. You will understand that that meant that the person that was most importantly sustained there was the widow and her son, not Elijah. Elijah brought the anointing. Let me say this to you. This is what God calls his children to do in life. Everywhere you go, you bring forth an anointing. Are you getting my point? Everywhere you go, you bring forth a blessing. That is what it means to be the salt of the earth. You go to a place where they did not have houses. You pray, and God develops something in you. 20 years you reside there. Before then, everybody was living in small rooms. By the time you leave 20 years' time, they all have decent homes to call their own. What you have done is that you have produced something. That is what the Bible calls the power to create wealth. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? But you know, there's this poverty mentality that a lot of people have. You go around life thinking that life owes me. How come my roads are not tied? How come water is not flowing in my house? How come I what have you contributed to life? You have not even asked yourself. You have not even ever paid tax self. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? I'm explaining a principle. So when somebody understands God, he goes out in life and says, God, I know I'm your instrument. I'm a carrier of your blessing. So when he says God, he's saying that it's only God that can bless me. That there's no nation on earth that can bless me. Any passport you give me does not change my ability to be blessed. Wherever you situate me does not change my ability to be blessed. If I'm in a dry place, I will pray to God and he will create abundance in the midst of dryness. Are you getting my point? What am I trying to say? Number one reason why people don't receive from God is what is called idolatry. When they give the name God to other things. That's what I'm trying to explain. He said, Oh, but how come you are not doing well? He said, it is because I have not yet gotten a visa. Are you following my point? Let me read the scripture. I'll read this one then, develop it a bit, and I think we'll close with it. Now, listen to this. If you read it from the book of John, chapter 5, now there we read about a pool in Jerusalem, all right, which is called Bethesda. Now, it was believed then that the angel of God would go down, stir up the pool at certain seasons, and whoever will be the first to step in will be cured of any disease that he might have. And there was a particular man who had been ill for 38 years. And when Jesus got there, he saw the man lying down, and he knew that he had already been in that condition for a very long time. He now walked up to the man and said, do you want to get well? The man turned to him and said, sir, I have no man. Notice that word, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I'm waiting, another steps down before me. This is what I want you to understand. Jesus said, do you want to get well? The person that has the ability to make you well, the God that can make people well, came and said, do you want to get well? The first thing he said is, I have no man. Now, this is what is called idolatry. And this is the thing about life. As long as you are looking up to man, are you getting my point? You will never see good. The Bible said that, Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5, it said, cursed is the man who trusts in man, who makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. He said, he shall be like a shrub in the desert, and shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the past places in the wilderness, in a salt land which is not inhabited. Now, what is he trying to say here? When God wants to bless people, when they are expecting blessings from the hand of God, the first thing they say is, I need a man. And God said, no, you don't need a man. What do you need? You need the word of God. You need the favor of God. When the angel went to Mary, he said, you will bear a son. Mary said, how shall this thing be, seeing that I know no man? And the explanation is that the Spirit of God will overshadow you. What am I trying to say? You don't know anybody does not in any way mean you cannot receive from God. But when you begin to think that you must know people, and this is how you see, people now begin to do what will displease God to please human beings, because they believe that if I don't get the man's favor, I will never get the blessing. Listen, that is number one reason why people do not receive from God even when God wants to bless them. It's called idolatry. There are different kinds of idolatry. You know, I've explained, to know the true God is to ascribe to him his proper function. That is, who is the person who will make you prosper in life? You say it is God. Then you know the true God. Are you getting my point? And you walk in a manner pleasing to that God because you know you need favor from him. You are getting that point there? Now, but when people don't understand this, they now say, for me to get blessing, I must know somebody. People must like me. I must be popular. Listen to me. When Saul was going to get destroyed, the destruction of Saul came because of his trying to please people. When Saul was going to get into a problem with Samuel, after he offered a sacrifice that he was not supposed to offer, in 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 11, the Bible says, Samuel said, what have you done? Saul answered, because I saw that the people were scattering from me. You will see the first thing he did was to try to please the people. He felt that if the people scattered from him, his kingdom would not be established. But what did Samuel say to him, verse 13? He said, you have acted foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God, which he commanded you. For now the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel. But now your kingdom shall not endure. Now listen to what happened here. Essentially what happened was that Samuel was coming to come and establish by prophecy the kingdom of Saul over Israel. But God gave him a test. Will you trust in me or trust in people? When God appeared to be delaying, that is, in the coming of the person of Samuel, he now decided to please people. Now, he told Samuel it was because of the people. I wanted to ensure that the people were on my side. And God said, for that reason, your kingdom will not endure. Are you getting my point? That is, the establishment of his kingdom was coming. But because he was making idols of people, he lost it. One important reason why we will not receive things from God is when our trust is in people. Are you getting my point? But what did Jeremiah say? He said, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. Are you getting my point? He said, he shall be like a tree planted by the water that extends its root by a stream. He will not fear when the heat comes, but its leaves will be green. And it will not be anxious in a year of drought, nor cease to yield fruit. This is the person who trusts in the Lord. Are you getting my point? Number one reason I'm establishing today why people may not receive from the hand of God is when they make idols of people.
The Way of Success is a production of Kingdom Word Ministries, a non-denominational teaching ministry based in Enugu, Nigeria. For more information and for free access to Pastor Banky's audio messages, books and other materials, log on to kingdomword-ng.org. Our mailing address is mails@kingdomword-ng.org or P.O. Box 2273 Enugu, Nigeria. Please join us same time next week for another refreshing time with the Word of God, and have a blessed week.